Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host today, Kathleen McCoy. First, I have to say happy May 1 to everybody. There's still snow on the ground, but the sun is out, and we're definitely getting warmer and warmer, and that feels good. But it isn't just sun that makes us warm and relaxes us. Good local music can do that too. It can bring us together to listen, to share a laugh, a sorrow, an understanding about the way life is. And this kind of local music is what the Anchorage Music Co-op is all about. And that's our topic today. So what is a music co-op? And if I'm a budding musician, what does that mean for me? If I'm a seasoned performer with CDs and a fan base, what does that mean for me? If I'm under 21, but I live to play music for an audience, what does a music co-op mean for me? We're going to find that out from our guests today. In the studio with us, we've got Laura Oden, a co-founder of the Anchorage Music Co-op. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kathleen.
Welcome. And we also have fellow musician Kevin Worrell. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, good afternoon.
And we expect a couple callers, a couple of other musicians who wanted to call in and weigh in on the music co-op. So we probably will hear from Sarah Sledge, Tom Begich, and Spiff sometime during this hour. But right now, in addition to Laura and Kevin, we have these gigantic, beautiful musical instruments in the studio, a giant big bass that is taller than Kevin, and a guitar that is not taller than Laura. and really, we're going to hear a couple songs throughout the hour as we talk about the music co-op. And so we're going to invite them to go ahead and set the tone for the show with a song. And then I'll be back right after that to give you the phone numbers if you want to call in with questions about the music co-op. But let's go ahead and start with a song.
All right.
This song is called Love Finds.
Oh, yeah.
You want to set it up?
Mm-hmm.
Time unfolds and opens new roads, like an unfamiliar guest. You don't get to know the rest. La da da. Its own way. Love will find you. Love will find you. Love will find you anyway. Told me that you're stuck in time, but time just flies on by. You have to open your eyes, 'cause love just heals and time just flies, and love just heals and time just flies on by.
You are, anywhere you are, love will find.
Nice. Nice song for May 1. Nice optimistic song about love, right?
Thank you.
If you've just joined us and you're wondering, wow, what was that music? That was Laura Oden and Kevin Worrell playing Love Finds. And they're here because we're going to talk about the Anchorage Music Co-op, and they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to throw out some numbers for folks if they can call in if they've got questions, and then I want to explain to them what is the Anchorage Music Co-op. So if you have questions, 550-8433, or if you're outside Anchorage, try 1-888-353-5752, and we can take your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I also want to let folks know on our website, we've got a bunch of links. We've got links to the Anchorage Music Co-op site. We've got links to Laura's site. I think we've got a link to your bio, Kevin, so people can see what a fun guy you are. Got some news coverage of the co-op as it's kind of moved through its history here. So let's go ahead and start, Laura, with what is a music co-op, and tell us a little bit about how it got started.
Well, there's music co-ops kind of all over the world. And when the idea first kind of started bubbling up, we started looking at what some of these other music co-ops are doing. And it's actually really interesting. There's a tremendous amount of variety. A music co-op doesn't really mean one thing in particular. In my view, any kind of co-op is really for the benefit of its members. So there's a huge latitude on what you could accomplish. It's just whatever the members want to put into, turning it into. But there's some music co-ops. There's one in England that is all about recording. It's a cooperative for recording. There's one in, I think it's Portland or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, and it's all about teaching.
Wow.
So you join the music co-op if you're a teacher or if you want to get lessons, and they're all focused on bartering. And so that's they even have a place where you can come do a retreat and be there for a while. There's another one in Ohio that's focused on getting health insurance to musicians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there are lots of different stuff.
Well, we'll talk about ours. Talk about Anchorage. How many members do we have? How do you become a member? Does it cost? About that.
We don't keep track of member numbers.
Okay. It's not about volume.
You're a member if you participate, and if you think you're a member, then you're a member.
Oh, okay.
Membership is... really, to make the music co-op go, it requires musicians and audience, and probably some setup people who are probably going to end up being musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Facebook page, and if you looked at the Facebook page, you could see that maybe the membership might be somewhere in the 200 or 300 range.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a membership fee or anything that would really identify a specific number of people. But, if you've been to a music co-op show, or if you've helped set one up, or if you've played one, then you're part of the group.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I really liked was finding out that there was under 21 venues, because periodically in town there have been under 21 venues, and then they don't survive. And you hear from kids, they're frustrated. So was that one of your guiding principles, to have under 21 be part something that you would pay attention to and try to make venue for?
The under 21 event is something that we had wanted to do for a long time. But for each of these things, it requires the right place and then the right energy behind it. And I would say, sort of going back to your earlier question about what the music co-op is, the music co-op is really about supporting or providing for the gaps that are in the Anchorage music scene. And so when it first started brewing, Lonnie Gransbury is the one who really originally started it as the Music Venue Partnership. And, he knew that there was a problem between venues and musicians and trying to make something better work there. Ultimately, it evolved into the co-op. And so the idea is that we would provide, different experiences for all levels of your career, wherever you're at in your musical stage.
It's so welcoming, that concept, because learning to play a musical instrument, and then the concept of an audience, first it's your teacher, but then it's you maybe you have recitals or things, but actually it's really an important step, I guess, to have an audience and actually interact as an artist with your audience. I mean, feel them, they feel your music. That's a big step, probably. You think so?
Absolutely. Local musician Rob Woolsey said to me after a blues jam session, he said, you know, 5 minutes on stage in performance is worth 3 hours in practice in your bedroom. And there's something about that experience, if you're solo or if you're with an audience, or if you're the band, when you're in front of an audience, it gets a different part of your brain going for sure, and probably a different part of your nerves. So,
and a scary thing that you have to do if you're going to advance, probably. I mean, maybe there's people who don't ever want to play for an audience, but really,
oh sure,
I think a lot of people want to play for an audience, and how do you move through those steps? Mm-hmm. And so the co-op makes that possible.
Well, you know, you're not. Mike McCormick is not going to have people to open for his shows if we don't start, providing good opportunities when they're 14, 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we started the Under 21 event. And that has been a very popular event.
I saw a picture of the Middleway Cafe loaded to the rafters practically, mm-hmm. the stage up by the windows, and just every table full. Yeah.
It's so fun to see it, too. You've got, like, maybe 6 or 8 or 10 kids playing, and their whole families and all their friends are coming out. It's just fantastic.
That's so cool. I want to go to Sarah has called us. Hi, Sarah. You're on Hometown
Hi.
Alaska. Thanks for calling in. Sarah's one of our guests, actually, and we wanted to hear from musicians. And actually, Laura described you, Sarah, as kind of a strategist with her in the behind-the-scenes co-op. So what can you tell us about the co-op and your involvement with it?
Well, Laura invited me to be in some of the initial planning sessions to just kind of figure out what this might end up looking like, and I was really excited to get involved. I love music, and I love discovering the different musicians and singer-songwriters that we have in Anchorage. We have such a great diversity of talent in our own backyard, and one of my big problems was all the shows started at 10 o'clock, or you would go to a show and you wouldn't be able to hear the musicians and hear the great songs that they had put together. And that was something that was really missing for me. So I was excited about the opportunity to play a role in getting a framework for those musicians to perform. For those of us who want to hear them and listen to their songs and collaborate more, just in the short time that the group has been around, we've put on some amazing shows. Laura and Lonnie worked so hard to get it off the ground. And I'm getting to meet a lot of other musicians and talk with them and hear what they're doing, and it's been a great networking opportunity, and I'm just enjoying the shows a lot.
I think I saw you sing on Saturday, right? It was over at the Fiore d'Italia. Was that an artist showcase, or was that some? Okay, and I really want to talk about that venue and how intimate it is, and how I felt like I was in someone's living room at maybe a private party. It was so nice, and so you sang there. How was that for you?
It's great. It's a very intimate space, and there are a few houses around town that do house concerts, and so kind of building off that idea, how do we have a listening, an intimate listening room, where people really feel up close and personal with the musicians, so they can really concentrate on the listening experience, and for musicians, you know that you're being listened to, that your music is being appreciated, and it's a much more intimate experience for you with the audience, which is very different than being on a stage in a bar. You know that someone's really focused on the music that you're playing. So that venue, we started doing shows there, the artist showcases, in January, and so we've had about 4 shows there, and we'll have shows throughout the summer and even some musicians from out of town. But I think it's a great space. It is like being in someone's living room or in a private party. So it's a great opportunity for both the listeners and the musicians.
Yeah, and I even just think it's fun to go inside a Quonset hut. You know, they just are funny-looking U-shaped things, and so you think, ooh, I wonder what it's going to be like. And what I really loved about that spot was the sun was coming through the windows, and the windows have these cool sunken, I don't know, they fill in the wall, I guess. And I was wondering whether the acoustics in that building are particularly good because of the way the Quonset hut has been finished inside. I don't know, Kevin, what do you think?
That would be a great question for Jay Bell,
uh-huh.
a great sound guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a lot of reflective space in there, I guess. But
yeah. I mean, for you, is it good? It feels like good sound to you?
Yeah, well, it was pretty dry, like not a lot of extra reverberation. So it lends to that intimate feeling of the space. Like, it's close, but it also has a sound that's pretty yeah. dry, which is dry in a good sense.
Dry in a good way. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah. You were over my head there, but yeah. Thanks for
not too much echo.
Okay. So anyway, so we can can we look forward to the Fiore d'Italia being? I almost feel like it's the Anchorage Music Co-op's clubhouse. In a way. I mean, it feels like that. You know, I mean, it feels like it has an identifying quality to it. So I know what the quality of the sound, the quality of the experience, and what you describe. For musicians and for audiences, it sounds like that's a great venue for it. So I'm just sort of curious, can we rely on it? Is it touch and go here? Or what can you tell me about that?
I think it's pretty reliable. You know, we're in our first year of being there, so hopefully it'll work out. I mean, we really like it there, and I think that if we want to move to a larger size venue, or if we want to have some events that are larger size, we can still do that at Fiore d'Italia. Up in, they have a larger room upstairs, but I think we're pretty dedicated to the continuing with the small shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's reliable.
At least as something that's in your repertoire, these intimate little shows.
Yeah, I think it's reliable. I also think we're going to expand to do some other types of events and projects for sure.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. I want to, Sarah, you're still with us, and I just want to say you've been labeled a strategist. So do you have any strategies up your sleeve that you want to share today with the music co-op?
Oh, gosh. I have been a part of some of the strategy sessions in terms of figuring out how many shows do we want to do throughout a year, how big of a venue do we want, how much do we want to charge at the door to make it accessible but also make it valuable. Do we want to bring folks from the outside, or do we want to only feature anchored musicians? So I don't know that I've been a master strategist, but I've certainly been there for the discussions.
One heck of a sounding board, though.
Yeah, that's great. So, Sarah, thanks so much. Is there anything else you want to add? And we just want to thank you for, you know, calling in and contributing.
I would just encourage everyone to go check out the webpage and get on our mailing list so that you can find out about all the shows that are going to happen in the next several months. You don't want to miss any of these. They've been really fantastic.
That's great. And that address is on our website, and you can give it, Laura, if you want. It's
AnchorageMusic.org.
It's not hard to remember. So thanks a lot, Sarah, and I look forward to seeing you perform again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Let's see, one of the things I really wanted to talk about, I describe this as a feverish startup because from a distance, and I really was from a distance, but watching you be excited about it was very feverish. Would you accept that description of yourself?
I've been labeled type A on occasion.
Okay.
Well, occasionally I get the B as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't going there. Not at all. I think feverish is a really good quality. I think to make something from nothing, and I know that Lonnie was part of this, but it takes somebody that's got that 110 fever to keep pushing forward, keep looking for ways around whatever the obstacles are. So, and to me, it was like the feverishness of a startup. And I know this isn't about really making money. This is a nonprofit, but it's about making music, I guess. And so you need that same kind of fever, I think. And so I thought anybody listening to the show today would be interested in the learning curve. And you and I had a conversation about this, and there were some big learning moments. And I think for anybody who wants to start anything in Anchorage, whether it's a bread making co-op or something like that, you know, I think a little bit of your experience, and Kevin, chime in here too, might be useful for a broad audience that wants to make things in Anchorage. So does that give you any place to kind of land and start with, Laura?
Yeah, I think the main thing is try something. Try. And, you know, if it's not working, do something else. And make a bunch of different stabs, and don't be stuck in, you know, being rigid about your original idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we first started up, we really just had absolutely no clue. It was just a complete guess. And we were changing things on every single show. And it took a full 10 shows for us to have enough experience to sit back and have a better idea about how to approach a second season.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go to the phones because we actually are getting some calls. And Spiff, who is one of our call-in guests, is on the line. Hi, Spiff.
Hey there.
So glad you could take the time to call. We've invited a couple of musicians to sort of share their experience about the Music Co-op, what they think about it. So chime in and tell us what you think.
I think it's fantastic. I think in a town like, a town as big as Anchorage, you should have a variety of venues and places and stuff. And one thing that was kind of lacking was a nice quiet room to be able to perform in and have people listen to. And that's something, I think that's probably one of the greatest gifts that the co-op's been working to bring to Anchorage.
Right. It's kind of what you said, Laura. There were gaps. Could you lay out the landscape between the three of you, Spiff and Kevin and Laura, the landscape as you saw it and the whole? Of course, the whole was the nice, quiet, intimate room. But the rest of that landscape, what does that look like?
Well, there's something that's kind of my mind. And there's another co-op member, Michael Howard, who's also a songwriter and a promoter. He brings acts through town from out of state, and he's thinking about these things. And he talks about the cultivation of an audience and kind of, helping your audience learn about the value of having a quiet listening space. And if there wasn't one to go to, the audience may not realize that they are the audience for that yet. But a chance to once they have an opportunity to sit in that intimate space and enjoy a concert in that way and have a chance to do some FaceTime afterwards in a quiet setting, they might realize that, this is a much better way to enjoy music. Sarah described that that's what she was looking for, but there's a lot of people who don't even realize that's what they're looking for. They may not consider themselves live music fans. And so, I've been on the musician side. I've been thinking about, I had a show with the co-op, but definitely that's a key. So I hope some people who are listening today will have a chance to maybe become the audience, because that's really a key component, right?
Right. I hadn't really thought about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about cultivating 14-year-olds so they can one day be, opening for Whistling Swan shows. But I hadn't thought about cultivating the audience for an intimate, so you really have to try it to find out, I guess, if that's really speaks to you. One thing is you're going to get original music for the most part, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
we're real focused on original music, yeah.
Yeah. And so it may reflect life as we know it, as we all we Alaskans and Anchorageites, whatever we're going through, we may recognize it in your songs. And that's a really cool thing to, feel that. Spiff, I didn't want to cut you off. Do you want to jump in here?
Oh, no, you're not cutting me off at all. I'm enjoying listening to the conversation. By the way, hello, Kevin. Hello, Laura.
Spiff.
Let me think. One of the things that was really fun at the showcase that I was at on Saturday, besides being in a Quonset hut, which I think is super fun.
It's very Alaskana. I mean, you can't get more hippie Alaskana than a Quonset
hut. Yeah, it's just great. And yet it's really nice in there. I mean, the walls are white. There's curtains in the windows. There's you can get a glass of wine. I can guess you can get different things.
Appetizers. You can get food.
You can get food. Mm-hmm. So it's not a Spartan experience at all. It's a very relaxed. I could just feel my shoulders just kind of relax and listening, attuning into the music, kind of tuning into the music. So it was really nice. So Spiff, I'm going to say thank you. If you want to add anything else, go ahead. And I really appreciate you took the time to call in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm really stoked that Laura's still working darn hard at this, and this is a sort of thing that the community at large, as well as the community of musicians and people here, this is the type of thing that we all should be working towards. And like I said before, it's really nice to have options of different places to play, different types of venues, and I'm really stoked that these guys were able to bring this one to fruition.
That's great. That's great. Thanks so much, Spiff. I really appreciate it. And I've heard wonderful things about you from Melissa Mitchell. She was on one day, and you've been a partner with her. And you've probably played in a million different venues around town. And so I think it means something when you say this was something that was missing, or this is an intimate experience. Not to take anything away from other venues, because maybe when you're in a rowdy mood, you want a rowdy situation,
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's, I'd always, kind of my little thing that I've always said is, there's a big difference between a show where you buy a ticket for and you go in and you find your seat and you sit down, the lights go down and everybody, shuts their mouth and it gets pin drop quiet and everybody listens to the music. That's fantastic. And it's also fantastic to have, the loud, rowdy bar, just like you're saying. But that's the difference between like buying a ticket and paying a coverage charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to, it's kind of strange when you play a good 20 rowdy shows in a row and then you play one where everybody's listening to the words, actually. It's almost a departure, unfortunately. That's the type of show we really like to go for. So,
What planet am I on? Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. So, Spiff, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you around town playing. And have you had a showcase with the Anchorage Co-op?
Or? Spiff and Melissa played last year.
Last year, okay.
Yeah, I adore Spiff's music. I just absolutely adore it.
Oh, so we got to have you back then, Spiff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for...
I'll be around.
All right. Thanks a lot, Spiff. Appreciate it. And actually, we're going to go right to our third guest. Call-in guest is Tom Begich. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you, Kat?
I'm great. And I also saw you Saturday night, and it was really fun listening to your songs. And actually, the repartee that you had with the other performance was really fun. But anyway, I do want to hear what you want to say about the Anchorage Music Co-op.
Well, I think that the co-op's just a great idea. It basically institutionalized something that a number of people in different ways have sort of haphazardly tried to start over the years. And really, Laura taking the lead in it, and I heard Laura on the radio here, so I know she's there, and Sarah Sledge and others that have, Michael Howard and others that have just taken a real interest in making it happen have really essentially institutionalized and backed it with some fundraising, this idea of providing a venue for singer-songwriters to actually perform their music with a listening room and with a listening audience. There's a number of us, you know, who host house concerts and do other things, but we can't sustain it over the long run. And I even did a showcase some years ago that wasn't really in the long run sustainable. But the way that they've thoughtfully and meticulously planned it out really does make all the difference. And especially I like what Spiff was saying about it, cultivating those other, cultivating the younger musicians, the under 21 open mics are doing a good job of that. And, there's a lot of over 21 open mics, but having an under 21 open mic that really highlights and offers opportunities to young people is exactly the kind of stepping stone you want to give to kids.
Yeah, because you end up, like you say, cultivating a whole generation that might be performers, that might enrich what it means to live in Anchorage, Alaska.
That's right.
With lots of local music, lots of songs that are about living in Alaska, or at least touch on some of the aspects of, so it enriches it for all of us. So that's great. And Tom, I don't think anybody's going to call up and say boo to the Anchorage Music Co-op. I don't like it. But you've got a good long history in the business, and sustainability is an important question. And I'm going to ask Laura some questions about that later. But do you have any advice for Laura to how to sustain this?
Well, she's doing the right thing by essentially and Laura, I'm talking to you, even though you're right there, I know, in the studio, I'm talking like you're not there. But,
I'm listening.
She's taking notes.
I always take advice from you, Tom.
the first good thing was to plan out and limit the number of shows, because you otherwise you burn out the most important piece of your capital, which is your human capital. So you've got to always maintain your human capital. And so, sort of the pacing and the sharing of responsibilities is the first step, and she's done a good job of that. And I really think that is a critical piece of sustainability. The second thing is it's a known charge. It's a modest charge now, and I think she could probably charge a little more to the guests, but the artist isn't dependent on what the guests pay. They get a set amount that they know going in, and so you end up with this site sort of, there's a guarantee for the artist, and that came from some of the third thing that Laura did, which is do some upfront fundraising to make sure she had a decent sound system and that she had the due diligence to find decent venues to put the shows on. So these three things in combination, a sharing of responsibility, ensuring that the audience pays for the privilege, really, of listening to great music in a very intimate setting, and then finally ensuring that the artists are respected, not volunteering their time, but actually getting a modest, payment. All of those things, if you do them right and you sustain it over a year or 2 years' time, you can enhance. You can make the payments more interesting to the artists. You can build your bank, and you can also build your human capital.
Okay, Tom, that's great. We'll talk more about that in the second half hour, because sustainability is really an important thing. We don't want to burn out Laura and her cadre of close-in people. We want to see this thing go on for a long time. So, Tom, thank you so much for calling in. And I think I saw on your website that you produced a book just is being mailed, a book of poems that you just did?
Yeah, the sonnet, Six Truths, actually. I'm in Nevada right now, and I'm calling in from Nevada, but I'll be promoting Six Truths, and I'll be promoting the two upcoming CDs, Fulton Street and the Bone Collectors Collection, coming up here later this year. So, yeah, it's good. It's a good Goodyear for Music, and Anchorage is a great venue for it.
Well, good, good. Congratulations, and thanks for calling in from Nevada. I did not know that.
Yeah. All right. I'm listening.
All right, you take care, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a little break. I want to hear some more music when we come back. And we've gotten all our guests on, and now it's just for us to talk about music and the co-op and to listen to some tunes. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. Happy May 1. We are talking about the Anchorage Music Co-op, and we've got Laura Oden, a co-founder, in the studio with us, and Kevin Worrell with a giant bass that's even taller than him that you can't see. And Laura has,
named Georgia.
That's Georgia. Welcome, Georgia, to Hometown Alaska. and also, Laura has switched up from a guitar to a banjo. So we're going to go into another tune. Go ahead. What is it, Laura?
This is a new song. It's called Try Not to Cry.
Okay.
Skin tried to silence her mind, took a pill to bend back time, but all she believed in was end of the line, aimed an uphill. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to play
a
different thing. I have to play a different song. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's just it.
You know, this is live radio. And that's
just the way it is.
Yeah. That was just not going to happen.
Some days are banjo days, and some days are not banjo days.
That's okay. So, that's all right.
Tomorrow's going to be a banjo day, though.
Yeah. Laura says, maybe not.
No,
maybe not.
No.
Okay, no worries. So I want to put out the phone numbers for folks if they have questions. I mean, if you're a budding musician, you might want to know about how to get connected with the music co-op. If you are an adult and you're looking for an open mic, that's something that happens here. Or if you're an established musician with fans, you might want to intimate setting to perform. So give us a call at 550-8433 or send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. So what haven't we told folks about this amazing co-op that I have lots of questions. I still can't believe, well, one of the things I really want to know is your first year, you were charging $10 a ticket, I think, or
15.
And you were at a different venue. You were at Out North. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, we've learned that if you're going to charge $15 for a ticket, you better really get the word out and get people there. And that was very challenging for us. So we actually always had wanted to do a lower priced, cover charge, but it just wasn't possible there.
Mm-hmm.
So, part of how we found ourselves in a new place was so that we could have a little bit more latitude for making some decisions about what we were going to charge to get people in.
Right. And you also told me a story about you had to kind of get to a plateau where you had money in the bank, and you did it like a crowdsourced funding. Tell us about that, because again, if people are starting things, they might need to know that you were scrambling that whole first year trying to keep ahead of, I don't know, pay the rent for the rooms and pay the musicians, and but you got to a more sustainable position by doing one of those crowdfunding things.
Yeah, we did. We actually set a pretty low amount that we wanted to fund. We just decided that we were going to, try to raise a couple thousand dollars so that we could provide ourselves some basic stability. And then, you know, in 4 weeks, we had $2,000, and that was enough to really provide that basic layer of foundation to pay artists and sound engineers and the basics that we needed to do.
It's really not that much.
It's very little. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now that we charge a little bit of money into the shows, that kind of goes back into the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And that we always know that we have enough funds for the artists and the sound people, because you can't have a show without a sound person and a musician.
Yeah, people
musician.
Will not keep volunteering if they're not getting
it. You can't really have volunteer sound folks for if you're really going to do a professional show.
Yeah. So that was a big learning curve, kind of getting that padding in the bank, so to speak. And it wasn't that much money, but Mm-mm. It was worth the effort to do it. Was it hard to do? What program did you run through?
We did an Indiegogo campaign, and it was not very hard. I mean, a lot of those crowd fundraising websites are set up for just to make it really easy on the end user and on the donors. It's very easy to do. It just means you have to sort of work it, and we did. We worked our mailing list, and we didn't send out very many emails. I think we raised a couple thousand dollars in, you know, 6 or 8 emails, something like that.
Yeah, so it really wasn't to the wall sort of effort. But it made a big difference in your ability to relax a little bit and plan.
Did.
Yeah. So now tickets to your events is it the same all across the board under 21 or what is it like?
Well, the under 21 is free. The shows at the Quonset Hut right now, they're $5. I don't know what we're going to do next year. I think we do have a little bit of a foundation in it. It might be nice to start charging a little bit more. But mm-hmm. right now, it's just $5 to get in.
Yeah, so you're in a good spot, and it's going to stay that way for a while. On your website, which we've got on alaskapublic.org, is your schedule of shows on there? I should have really highlighted that. I mean, it's a once-a-month
show. For my shows?
Yeah.
Or for the artist showcase?
Yeah.
You know, originally, we were doing the fourth Saturday of the month, and we didn't actually end up getting all of those exact... So it's varied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's monthly and it does vary. So it's the best thing to do is to get on the mailing list and or check the website, or, you know, you can check out the Facebook page too.
Yeah. So is there something we can look forward to? What's coming up? We just had a showcase. So what's coming up next?
Yeah. The next one is going to be Rick Brooks on June 1st.
Mm-hmm. Is he from Anchorage? I apologize. I don't know.
Yes.
He's an Anchorage musician. Okay.
He's a phenomenal musician.
And
in
what
Anchorage.
Does he
He's
play?
Taught a lot of Anchorage students too.
Is he a guitar player?
Yeah, he mm-hmm. does like a flat picking style.
I'll say that Rick is sort of like the authority on fingerstyle guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, he's got it in the bag, and he's taught workshops on that. He's done master classes as well as being a hardworking performer on the road. He's definitely a staple on not just on the Anchorage scene, but, you know, traveling as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we saw Rick on the way back from a gig. Poor guy. We happen to have a van that was big enough to tow his.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story.
Never maybe not go to the radio. But the point is, speaking of a community of musicians, right? We take care of each other. Hi, Rick.
We're thinking about you.
So that's going to be terrific to see Rick in that venue. I'm excited mm-hmm. about that because it's really going to have a chance to showcase and get up close and see those fingers working. Because fingerstyle guitar is its own special animal.
Yeah,
and it's really neat to be able to see it up nice and close to see what's really going on.
Yeah,
so,
that's great. And is there another under 21 coming up? How often do those happen?
Yeah, those are monthly as well. And that's the last Friday of the month from 5 to 7 at the Middleway.
Okay. And then there's adult open mics, and is that a weekly thing?
So the old adult open mic was happening at the Quonset Hut, but one of the things that happened is right after we started our open mic, several other open mics launched at the same time. So what we've done is we've connected up with Chris Snyder and Nikki Pepper down at the Anchorage City Limits, which is the old Howard Johnson's. And so we're going to merge these two open mics. And so the one that's happening on Thursday night will become an Anchorage Music Co-op open mic.
Is that every Thursday?
Or it's every Thursday.
Wow, so every once a week you got a shot at this. Wow, yeah. That's really cool. Yeah.
And I talked to Chris yesterday, and we're going to try to get some future performers onto that stage as well, which is one of the things we were doing at the Anchorage Music Co-op, because, again, you know, we're trying to build in different places where people at different levels can get some different kinds of experience. So if you're comfortable with doing three songs, you might want to, you might be at a level where, you know, you don't necessarily have enough material, you don't have a CD for an entire two-hour show, but maybe it's a good stretch to play a half an hour. So that's what the featured performers are for at the open mic.
And I think that the fact that you guys are both musicians and the co-op is made up of musicians, you see these levels, you see these steps, you see how people have to navigate to get better. So it's kind of a brotherhood or a sisterhood in a way of musicians. It's
sure.
Kind of cool, you know. And I imagine there's a lot of teaching and learning going on all the time when you're working together.
I think we're all on the steps. You know, I'm there's people, you know, above and below me on the steps on the scene. I'm learning from people still, and I'm helping other people with what I know. And there's a lot of sharing. When Laura mentioned earlier about one of these co-ops that was a training or a teaching co-op, like there's a piece of that that's happening just informally when we all get together.
By the way, I want to remind, if you just joined us, we're talking about the Anchorage Music Co-op, and we have Laura Oden, a co-founder, and Kevin Worrell, a bass player with a giant bass named Georgia, right here in the studio with us. Georgia doesn't want to comment, I guess. Huh?
Well, you know, she'll have a chance to speak once again.
When she's ready, she can't be forced into it. So let's see. You know, I was actually thinking, I remember going to something called the Troubadour in L.A., and, you know, like there is a history of coffee houses and music houses where there's a single musician playing acoustically up on this, you know, have we lost that, or is just Anchorage the kind of town that just hasn't had it, or they come and they go, or is this an idea coming back? Or is that a bad question?
I think it's the most important question is why has that not been available in Anchorage? Because when you don't have that available, you also, the audience atrophies for it.
Which is back to Kevin's
right.
point,
That's
which
right.
is you've got to cultivate the audience that realizes they're an audience for this. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, you go to New York or L.A. or Chicago or Atlanta and or any place, really, in the lower 48, and you're going to find all these very cool little hip coffee houses or other places where there's really a music scene that's happening that people are putting energy into, and they're making it move forward. And Anchorage has all that. It just doesn't have as much of it. And so, you know, one of the big gaps that we just felt existed was, you know, if you're a singer-songwriter, it's only part of your experience to be able to play at a bar. You really have to, if you're going to really continue to write and connect with audience, you really have to have a place where people can hear you.
And I'd like to highlight just a couple of differences about the co-op that's special. So the Troubadour, you're in LA, millions of people. You got Troubadour is 100 or 300 seat venue. I've not been in it. Maybe it's more, but it's limited.
Yeah.
Right. Limited number of seats. Well, you've got all that, you know, population density, so you've got a little tiny wedge of the population that really loves to see a listening room type thing, so of course you can fill it. And the Troubadour is a business, right? And so, you know, in order to support businesses with that sort of niche market, you've got to have the population to push it. So Anchorage being a smaller city, right, there's just fewer number of people who maybe already would be interested. So like I said before, one thing is to grow that population. And one thing that you mentioned that I think is very true is that an audience who comes out to an Anchorage Music Co-op show will hear songs written by Alaskan artists from their Alaskan perspective and sometimes about Alaskan themes.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Woods has got a beautiful song called Fireweed. Michael Howard's got a great song called So Long Alaska. I've written songs. I mean, it goes on. Of course, we're going to write about our scene. And that will continue to grow an audience so that that eventually there may be a business that can sustain itself and make profit on this. But for now, another difference I'd like to highlight with the co-op is that it's not serving the end to like make, you know, to make some money, which can then can keep a venue open, which can satisfy the audience. But there's something else going on, the cooperative nature of musicians working together. It's a little different than a list of bands cycling through on a booking roster. It's like we can work together, we can have a meeting, we can share ideas, we can teach each other things, mm-hmm. while creating a venue, mm-hmm. and the distribution of the funds, if it goes back into the co-op or if some goes into the pockets of musicians, or we invest it back in the people, so we get the human capital that Tom talked about, you know,
right.
that volunteers will want to stay involved in volunteering, including sound people. You know, if a sound man gets paid, it helps. Absolutely. They're professionals. They put time in their career. But if a sound engineer has a really valuable experience, you know, during one of those shows, they're more likely to want to come back. So,
right. I just want to remind our audience, if you're a musician out there and you're just kind of thinking, oh my gosh, I want to belong, I want to be mentored, I want to, you know, figure out how to be a part of this. We've got some great people in the studio right now to talk to, the Anchorage Music Co-op. I'm going to give you the numbers. It's 550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752. Or send us an email at hometownalaskapublic.org. Maybe you're wondering, am I good enough? You know, how do I start? You know, these are the folks who know the answer. They've been there, they've done it. And I think that is what makes the bond, because you know the first time someone gets in front of an audience, probably what's going on in their stomach and their head, because you've been there, right? And also, how about the critiquing that might go on among you, you know, to share? I mean, you grow when you get critiqued. It can be hard to get critiqued, right? But you grow. So is that part of the cooperative mission?
You know, that's really not something that we've done so far. I mean, really what we've tried to do is give people performance opportunities. There are definitely some other things that we want to try to expand into. You know, I think that there's a real lack of reviewers in town.
That's true.
People
yeah.
reviewing shows and reviewing albums. So down the road, this is on my wish list.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to have maybe partner with another writers organization that would step up to the plate, and we could have like a steady, regular place where you get your new CD reviewed, because the papers in town, they really don't have the staff for it right now, and mm-hmm. so they've been focused on telling you about the shows that are coming rather than tell you about the show you missed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so actually, we're going to go to the phones. Hi, Duke. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, you guys.
Welcome.
Hey there, Duke.
Hey, Duke.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome.
Well, I don't really have a question, I guess. I just, I've known, you know, Laura for a while, and the Pagan Cowgirls. I missed the first part of the conversation. I'm sure you brought that up. But
no, we didn't yet.
Just in the last, you know, couple of years, she has really taken this by the horns, and I applaud her tenacity. And it's just been a great honor to see what she's made of this in such a short time, and how a lot of people have jumped aboard. And this, in the context of the Fiora d'Italia and the Garden of Eden, where those shows are being done, there's a grand history in that building, way before there was anything built along that stretch of road, where it was kind of like the only big structure, so people would have potlucks and stuff back, you know, in the late 40s, when those two kind of decided to stop the homestead and make a restaurant there. So I think that with your conversation about getting these, I guess, music environments constructed, it's great that it's happening in a place where a lot of that has started many years past. So
it is rich. Yeah, it is enriching to know. In fact, we wanted to talk a little bit about the history of it, and I don't know that much. I remember being here in the 80s and going to it when it was still Garden of Eden.
I bet Duke knows more of the history than anybody.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to, you know, a quick abbreviated thing is like there was a couple, they were both in the service, they decided to make a little farm. They had 5 acres there, and the soil was acidic or something. This nothing grew, and they were, the gentleman was a trained chef, and they just sold the tractor and all their equipment and decided to open up a little restaurant. And and the people that were in the know, basically, you know, like the Idle Hours was another bigger club down the street at the end of Spinard Lake. But the Garden of Eden was such a quaint little place, and you could get really elevated food there. And, you know, I guess it was known for, you know, not a speakeasy, but it definitely was off the main track. So if you wanted to go and take somebody out for dinner and maybe not be seen, that would probably be a place to go.
Intrigue.
Yeah.
So it's got a long history. Yeah.
Yes. And as far as Hubert, the owner there, he owned the Beef and Sea and the original Underground years and years ago, and has been very, very supportive of local music. And you got to give a big shout out to him.
Yeah.
Good point, Duke.
I organized Spring Social there for the last 13 years, and you know, he's just been a very elegant host.
That's good
agreed.
To point out. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Duke having the music at the Spinard Social for the last 13 years. I mean, we were really just picking up where Duke left off.
It's part of what makes, I mean, it makes the biology of the environment, the ecosystem of the environment is rich because we've got people like Duke or other musicians. And
sure.
But it does take somebody like you, Laura, really to step up and put it on your shoulder and move forward. And I guess you're a leader. We'll have to call you a leader.
I think usually
her organization skills are far superior to mine. So it does take a lot of groundwork. It does take a lot of tenacity to get this up and flying. So anyway, that was the main thrust of my comment.
Well, thanks for calling in, Duke. I really appreciate it. I'm going to try to convince these guys to play another tune before we run up against the clock. So thanks for calling, Duke.
You bet. Take care.
You too. So what would you guys like to do?
Let's do
one tattoo girl. Yeah.
You're looking at her, Kathleen, by the way.
Okay, there's a one tattoo girl in the studio today. All right, good. Here we go.
Hope I'm still in tune. Sound okay to you?
Oh, man. Magic.
Tattoo girl.
tattoo girl. I want a tattoo girl. I want a tattoo girl. I want a tattoo girl.
That was lovely. Thank you. Thank you. We have only about a minute left, and I didn't want to run out of song before we ran out of time. I wanted to ask you about workshops. That's something that, and you have a CD release party tomorrow.
We have to
night.
Tell you about shows and workshops.
So we have about.
I'll tell you really quick.
20 seconds.
Tomorrow night is my big CD release party at the Taproot at 8 o'clock. Meg Mackey is opening. We have a killer band, and the Belfry String Collective is going to wrap up the evening, so come. It'll be great. There's another show on Friday. And
at the Anchorage City Limits.
City That's Limits, right. Yeah.
Just keep your eyes peeled in July. I've got three fantastic musicians and educators coming from Chicago who will be up on the Anchorage Music Co-op. We'll be giving workshops and master classes.
Oh, so. Wonderful. Yeah.
This is going to be a really cool event that we're going to tell everybody about and make sure everybody knows, because it's going to be very affordable. You can come, you can learn. It'll be great. We have these all incredible musicians to teach us.
That's fantastic. I mean, we're coming into summer. It's just going to be great, all this music. So thank you, Laura Oden, and thank you, Kevin Worrell, for
My
coming
pleasure.
Into
thank
Hometown
you,
Alaska. Thanks to Sarah and Tom and Spiff, who also called in. Next week, Charles Wolfoth will be back as your host. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our web editor and engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.